Hey, everybody. Pastor David here. Thanks for joining me here on Take a Knee. Most people at some point in their life really want to end up being in charge until they figure out that being in charge is a lot more work. Well, that doesn't always mean that that person will not want to stay in charge or be in charge anymore. You know, some people are leaders naturally by design. But have you noticed that some people would like to be in charge and they don't do it very well? Today, we have a tremendous amount of resources to help people become not just good leaders, but great leaders. In the athletic world, it is important to lead by example. Passion and skill, of course, are definitely key, especially if you're one of those in the trenches. You know, you're working very, very hard. Then obviously, you're going to be able to lead by example by your skill. But I have found it to be true over the years that inspiration and influence can be just as powerful as a strong personality. And even more than incredible intelligence, believe it or not. So today I want to draw our attention to the power of influence. There is a book that I remember when my pastor years and years ago basically shared from it, taught us from this book as a group of other pastors. We were young pastors. And I remember him saying that the title was something that went like How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies. At least that's how I thought it went. And it could have been the name of the title then, but now the book reads How to Win Friends and Influence People. I'm not even sure they're the same two books, but the truth is I didn't really do my research on that. So all I do know is there is a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And so I'd like to start by summarizing some of the points from this book today to really help us when it comes to leadership and to learn to be good leaders. You don't have to be a type A personality. You don't have to necessarily be a person who stands up first in a group. Now, to tell you a little bit about myself, I want to, again, share a little story with you. And before I get to the points from this book, I remember when I first showed up here in the city that I now pastor in, they had what was called a leadership development course. And they were inviting people that were new to the community. And so somebody had gotten word that I was new, a new pastor here. And I was invited. I was invited along with my associate pastor who was with me at the time. And so we both got an invitation and it was pretty exciting. It was kind of a prestigious event. And so we went to the beach here in North Carolina. And a couple of things that were unique about that was at the beginning, of course, the weather was beautiful and this was way into the berms on the beach and leading up to the water. To be honest with you, I don't know exactly really where it was. I remember it was very, very unique. And this was a center that was specifically designed for retreats for adults. And so the rooms were pretty cozy. And there were big areas for one to eat and to meet. So that night, well, that afternoon when we got in, we all gathered together. And I was really surprised at how many people were there. There probably was about 75 to 100 people there, all from our community and maybe surrounding areas. It was pretty challenging and pretty exciting. And these people were business leaders. These were teachers and principals and people from the medical community. I mean, all branches and people that were kind of leaders in their respective disciplines. And so I remember that evening we introduced ourselves and everything was pretty neat. It was pretty fun. The next morning we got up after breakfast, we did what was called a leadership obstacle course. And so they took us and they divided us up into about 10 different teams. And we were to work together to get through this obstacle course. Now, this obstacle course could not be done alone. In other words, it was going to require a team to get everybody through it. So you can imagine what that means is that you are going to have to lift people up, that you're going to have to stand up on shoulders and you'd have to make these chains. And I don't really remember all the different obstacles and things that you had to do, but it required teamwork. Now, I remember our particular team was about a third female and other males in our group. And I want to say we were about 8 to 10 of us. And so as we began to move, each obstacle became more and more challenging. And I'm the kind of personality and leader that does not just walk into the group and say, okay, hey, look, I'm in charge. This is the way we're going to do this. So get in line. I didn't do that. I just walked in. I was very quiet. I'm not sure whether the people knew that I was a pastor yet. I can't recall. But I remember that I didn't know anybody in the group. And I will interject and interrupt myself here a moment. Matter of fact, one or two of the men that were in my group now actually attend our church, which is pretty cool. But anyway, as we got into the challenging parts of the course, I remember that we weren't being successful. And inside me, I remember looking around and thinking, nobody else is frustrated by this. Something inside me was like, look, I'm not going to lose. Something inside me was like, this is a competition, all right? The first group that finishes, you know, they get an award, they get this, that, the other thing. And it just bothered me. And before too long, I was like, okay, look, folks, we need leadership here. And so let's get organized here. I remember everybody looking at me and just being absolutely relieved. They were all looking for somebody to rise up and lead. And so I finally did it, and they were very happy. In fact, I was like, okay, look, we're going to do this as a team. Then we're going to share your ideas. Okay, what do you think is going to be necessary for us to conquer this particular obstacle? What do you think? And I let people give their ideas and generate, and that's how we got it done. And then times it was just like, okay, look, you know, enough ideas. So there were times when it wasn't just going to be me giving suggestions or being Mr. Nice Guy. There were times I had to push them. And there were times I was like, okay, look, you're holding this up because you're afraid of walking on that rope. You're going to have to do it, okay? You can't let the rest of the group down. So that's where my coaching and where some of my influence in the way of inspiration began to kick in. And so again, I've shared this testimony before with other pastors. In fact, I remember standing up in front of a group of pastors and I was asked to speak, and I was in a room full of my peers and men that I had looked up to for years, and it was pretty intense. And I remember getting up there and saying, look, I remember when I first showed up to this group, I didn't think I was a leader. And I said, what was so unique about that is because I always was a leader in anything that I was involved in. Growing up, I would immediately take over a group, but it was never by force. It was always by just looking and just saying, somebody's got to take charge. Matter of fact, I did jury duty a couple of years ago, and everybody was looking around the room and they all stared at me because they knew I was a pastor. And so, boom. I took over and I said, okay, we all have lives to live. Let's get to the end of this thing. She was guilty, right? Okay. And so anyway, my train of thought here was, as I was speaking in front of these pastors, I told them, I said, look, in this group, I don't feel like I'm a leader. I said, but what's amazing is that I've always thought of myself in aspects of my life as being a leader. I never had trouble in a huddle of motivating the other guys, slapping them on the butt and saying, let's get going. I never had trouble among my peers and friends, but yet in this group, I was struggling. And then I said, you know, the reality is this, we can't let intimidation and we can't let others' expectation of us limit us because, you know, we're not always supposed to be the leader in the room, but we can always inspire and influence. And so as good of a leader as I've tried to be, I've also been a very good follower. I served another pastor, as you've heard me say before, about 20 some odd years, 22. And during that time, I became a professional follower. I mean, I listened to my boss. I did what he needed. I was faithful to him. Whatever he needed done, I did. You know, whether I was necessarily skilled in it, I would learn it. I would do whatever he needed me to do. Lead worship, take over the children's ministry, take over the youth ministry, lead evangelism, oversee the small groups, whatever you needed me to do. And I did my very best. But it comes back to knowing that you can still lead by inspiring and influencing. And that's what this book is all about. So if you're listening to this and you don't think yourself as much of a leader, you don't really have to, but you can really focus on an ability to impact people's lives through some very simple ways. It's amazing how I could just be in the room. As a matter of fact, one of the elders in the group, he just said, David, you're like E.F. Hutton. When you speak, everybody listens. And I remember I was so blessed by that. And I was young too. I was in my late 20s, early 30s. And I really felt like I could impact without having to be braggadocious, you know, having to be full of all of this macho image. I could be who I was and still be a leader. Let's take a look at some of these things that comes from the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Let's just go down the list. There's several here. It looks like there's about 20. And I'll go through them quickly. First thing he says in the book is smile. Be a person who smiles. That you give life even through a smile. Pretty simple. Great way. That's one way that we can influence people and cause them to change in their perspective immediately. And they see us as a person of influence if we're joyful. Secondly, always begin with a friendly way. Whatever we do, start with friendliness. These are good principles, things that we should write down. And I've talked about here on Take a Knee before, talking about being friendly and always begin that way because remember, we're after influence, right? I do that. I practice this so much now in every situation. If people getting my food, if I'm checking out from buying something, when I'm influencing that person with a positive, they're going to go out of their way to help me. They're going to do what they can because they have within them the power to make my life good or a struggle. Always begin with a friendly way. Let the other person save the face. So in other words, you are going to be a person of honesty, that you're going to be forthright in everything that you do. Don't criticize, condemn, or complain. Wow, this is a challenge, isn't it? I mean, that gets right to the heart of it. But getting criticism and condemning or complaining really just pulls us away from being the influence. And now we may be an influence, but we're not going to be a leading influence because people will pull back from that. They will not look to you as to having any influence in their life. They just won't. At least those people that have good motives or looking for help. Give honest and sincere appreciation. Somebody does something good for you, or even they're just doing their job, thank them. Thank them for bringing you the food. Thank you. Thanking them for checking you out, you know, going to get your oil change. You just look at that person. I tell you, I was just with a person. Her name was Ashley. And I asked her name. I was like, you know, I just want to put a name to a face. What's your name? Ashley. I said, Ashley, you know, thank you so much. I said, I really appreciate you being clear with the instructions. So she's sitting there doing this humdrum job, and I can see the look in her eyes. She's just been doing this all day long, probably for years. And it's just a deadness in the poor thing's eyes. And so I made her day by just saying, you know what? Thank you so much for what you think is insignificant. It's not to me. It's not to me for you taking a little extra time to tell me where I can pick my car up or helping me understand what it is that you're doing to my vehicle today and the cost of what you're charging me for. To be respectful and to praise them for what they're doing is going to influence them not only then, but from then on out. So give honest and sincere appreciation. Let the other people do all the talking. So sometimes you just got to sit back and be quiet. Just smile and wait for your moment. Sometimes people are just chattering away and you can just kind of sit there and let other people do all that. And when it's your turn to impact, then you do something that is both sincere, honest, and clear. To get the best of an argument, avoid it. I like that. You know, sometimes we are drawn into arguing with people, but you know, the older I have gotten, it's just not worth it, is it? Just not worth it. You just move on. Again, just move on. And if it means you have to do something different to find what you're really looking for, then it's best to not leave with them your frustration, your anger, and move on. Because they might be having a bad day and you just don't know it. And that is something we all really need to think about, don't we? We always assume that everybody is just out to get us when really their father might have just died. They might have a child in the hospital. They may have just gotten a big hospital bill and they don't know how it's going to be paid. And so they're desperate. And then people will begin to react to unkindness in many different ways. But often it comes with just being disagreeable. And we don't want to get into that. Ask questions rather than giving orders. This is what I learned really early on, that if you want to influence someone, if you're giving somebody an order, you know, hey, look, you need to do this. They're going to resist you. They just are. But if you ask them, hey, is this the way that I need to go to do such and such? Or you ask them questions about their job to give them the opportunity to teach you and to help you in a way that you're honoring them. You're honoring their knowledge. You're honoring their expertise in what they're doing, even if you think you already know it. Asking questions in such a way leads people in the direction of being able to influence them. And I've seen this at work with a lot of high D type A personalities. I noticed those who know how to work this will begin that. That wasn't always my way just because of my personality, but this is good. Show respect for other people's opinions. So we listen, right? Always begin with praise and appreciation. Things like, you know what, that was a great idea. Thank you for sharing that. Telling people that, that's a good question. You don't want to say, well, you know, that was a kind of stupid question. Obviously, that's super rude, but you know what? There are people who still do that. Or to say silly, like they're trying to be funny or sarcastic. You know what? Being funny and sarcastic is just not the way to influence somebody, especially if you don't know them. They don't understand your humor. And if you're lifting yourself up in front of them, or especially with somebody else that's standing there, they're not going to appreciate that. And you have influenced them in the wrong way in order to win them. Again, isn't that the goal? It's to win people, win friends, win people who will be allies, allies in your community. You know, I live in a small community and it's not a good idea to go around and criticize people all the time. And I have made that mistake. Believe it or not, I laugh. But it brings me terror to think that one time I was criticizing a person who had made a particular baseball hat for my child's team. And I said, yeah, you know, it just wasn't really creative enough. I wish they would have done da, 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 da. Well, I didn't realize I was talking to the person who actually made them. Yeah. I mean, pause for effect, right? I mean, there she was looking at me with this face like, she goes, well, I'm the one who made him. And I was like, you know what? Here's a gun. Just go ahead and shoot me. Or go ahead and slap me upside my head. And you know what? I mean, what a lesson. What a lesson. And I remember apologizing, but you know what? It never was enough. never was enough. I never won that lady. Never. In all the years that I knew her and playing baseball, I was done because I criticized her work. And there it is. So you never know how that can affect your life. And then, of course, what is she saying to everybody else about me? Well, Lord help us. We can only do our best. So always begin in praise and appreciation. Remember and use the other person's name. Knowing people's names, I'm terrible at this because I meet so many hundreds of people, but I often will stop and say, okay, what was your name again? You know, as I've gotten older, I get Ashley's and Allison's all mixed up, especially if they sound the same. A lot of times I'll just stop and just say, hey, can you remind me? You know, because it's better for me to call them by the right name or even to use their name than trying to avoid that altogether, avoid the embarrassment. So it's pushing past it and trying to get better at remembering people's names, especially people that are working for you. I mean, in a business situation where somebody's helping you or bringing your food or working on your vehicle or checking you out at the store, especially if it's on their name tag, go ahead and use it. You know, not a bad thing or a hard thing. People respond to the kindness and the extra effort it takes to remember the name. Become genuinely interested in other people. Be interested. I love that. And that's a benefit that God has blessed me, having lived in so many different places around the country and all of the different things that I love to do. I try to find that in people. I try to say, okay, what is it you do? I do this. And then I'll immediately just like, yeah, well, tell me more about that. Well, that sounds really cool. Or, you know, that must be a real challenge. Or where did you go to school to learn that? You know, my wife and I talk about this all the time because it is something that she and I both love to do. And that is to show interest in people. Now, sometimes you might just say, well, you know, people are not really interested in me. And you know what? Don't let that hinder you. Because leaders don't always get the feeding. Leaders don't always get it. I mean, if you're in a leadership position, you're going to find that more often than not, people don't want to know much about your life because they don't want to feel compared to. They don't want to hear the story. And you know what? That's okay. So you take the step and you hear their story. You listen to it. It's going to influence them. It's going to win them to you. You'll be able to tell your story one day. And even if you don't, it's not a big deal. But be interested in people. That's really good stuff. Talk in terms of other people's interests. Love doing that. I love to use analogies. I love to use their experience in stories or things that I talk about. When wrong, admit it quickly and definitively. Yeah, that's good. Admit it quickly, whether in your staff or, I mean, this works in your family, but anybody that you're trying to win, if they can see that you're down to earth and real, and if they catch you in giving information that is wrong, you say, you know what? You're right. Yeah, I was wrong about that. Be a good listener. Let others do more talking, and that stands on its own, right? Just learn to be a good listener. I was a counselor for many, many years, and I had to train myself being an absent-minded young man, you know, especially if you like to talk like I like to talk. I guess you figure that out. I love to talk. I love to share my ideas. I love to tell stories, but I've also had to learn to listen, and my wife has told me, David, you're a good listener. You've learned. You've trained yourself to listen to people and then tag those things in my mind of what I want to come back to. Taking notes, but often just marking those really critical things that I know that I can come back to show them that I was listening. I was listening to you the whole time. That can be a real challenge when you're tired or maybe you're not particularly interested in what they're saying. That's a little tougher, isn't it? Arouse an eager want within the other person. Not sure exactly what they mean on that, just by baiting people so that they want to know more about who you are and what you believe. Be a good listener. I already mentioned that one. Go out of your way to make people feel important. That's a good one. Make them feel important. Make them feel that they're important to what is going on, whether it be in your church or whether it be in your business. Even if they have a seemingly insignificant thing like saying hello at the door, you take the moment to say, you know what? I am so glad you do what you do. You know what? People's lives, their hearts, their perspective is changed by your smile and the time that you take. I mean, it's a sacrifice to do what you're doing, sitting there three services out of a morning and saying hello, hello to hundreds and hundreds of people. Go out of your way to make people feel important, even in the most insignificant things. Publicly praise the other person's accomplishments. And that's a good one, right? Publicly say, yeah, you know, I couldn't do it without so-and-so. Embarrass them a little bit. Make it about other people. Take the opportunity to praise others. And I tell you what, when you do that, you're going to make that person a friend for life. That I can tell you for sure. And then finally, try to see things from the other person's point of view. Now, that's the biggest and most challenging one, you know, because we typically want to be those who debate. We want to be those who are right. We want to be the apologist and the expert. When really, at the end of the day, if we're trying to gain friends and influence people, whether it be our enemies or whether it be just people that we feel like we need to gently lead along. These are things that will help that. These are all principles, and you can go back over this and listen to it again, or go grab the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Then I guarantee you it's going to affect your life. In fact, it's going to bless you in such ways that you will have more friends. You'll have more people that are checking up on you. And you'll also have more people, if you are in a leadership position, who will want to follow you and run with you to the ends of the earth. I know so many leaders and people of influence that are not necessarily the biggest leaders, the best leaders, but man, do they have a following of friends and people because they care. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily being someone who is always wearing yourself out to do things for friends, because we've all learned the hard way that not everyone appreciates our influence or our inspiration. And sometimes that gets pared out over time when you find people who are truly appreciative of the smile, of the understanding, of the stories, of the listening, of the all the different things that we've talked about here. So I want to finish by just encouraging you. Regardless of whether you feel like you're a leader or not, you can impact people's lives. You can influence them through just simple, kind ways. And in the end, you really are a leader, and you really are changing the world one person at a time. And in the end, you also can have some friends. And we all love that, don't we? We always need people who will pray for us and be concerned about what's going on in our life, or even miss us when we don't show up at the meeting or didn't end up going to church or missed an appointment. That's what it's all about, folks. So I'm going to pray for us, as we always do, and close this out today. Lord, we thank you, God, for principles, Lord, things that are useful tools, Lord, to help us be greater leaders in this kingdom, in this world. Lord, I pray that you would continue to, wherever we find ourselves in this life, God, whatever we're doing, from the simplest serving type situations to, Lord, jobs that we do in this world, they're stuck in our cubicles, or Lord, we're coaches or athletes or whatever we might be, lawyers, doctors, teachers, whatever we might do, that we, especially as believers, that God, we can continue to make a difference in very simple ways. Lord, we don't have to be alone, and we don't have to feel like we're not making a difference, even if we're not the strongest personality in the room. So Lord, help us, give us a greater appreciation, God, for Lord, what you do inside us. And we do pray, Holy Spirit, help us be the difference in everything we do. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Well, God bless you, folks. Thanks again for joining me. We'll see you next time.